Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Well, how did all this begin, the cover-ups, the political prosecutions of opponents? We're going to talk about that tonight. Tudor Dixon running for governor of Michigan, we'll talk about that. And Lauren Boebert's going viral. Why? All that's coming up on I'm Right. How did we get here? I ask myself that a lot. We talk about it a lot on the show. How did we get here? Now, what am I talking about? What's here? As a country, we're in a bad spot. To put it mildly, we're in a very bad spot. How did we get here? And when I look at each thing that's bad, I always ask the question, how did we get here? I think about that. And I'll be honest, maybe this sounds bad, maybe this is offensive, but I don't care, I'm an offensive person. I blame myself, or I should say I blame us for a lot of it. I definitely include myself in some of that. I have been, for most of my political life, I didn't really get political until I was 23, 24, always loved history and things like that, but not politics. Then I got super into it. Started reading, started learning, you know, figuring out what I believe. And I have so adhered to this live and let live philosophy that maybe you still adhere to. And I'm not insulting you for it. That's really how, that's how I live my life in general before I was political. You do you, I'll do me. I don't want to be involved in your business. But I didn't understand what we were up against. That's really what it is. I didn't understand what we were up against. We are up against forces of evil here. Which brings me to this part. I remember Trump and all his charisma giving us one of the great debate moments of all time.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah. Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Now, I loved that moment. I'll be honest with you, I remember where I was when I was watching that, and I cheered. I said there, yes, get her, right? You probably cheered. You probably cheered again just now thinking about it. But then I thought, how'd that turn out? Trump gets elected, picks Jeff Sessions as AG. There's Hillary Clinton and the Clinton family with a lifetime of crimes, including crimes during the 2016 election, working with the FBI, dirt on Trump, just ugly, horrible things. And Jeff Sessions, what does Jeff Sessions do? Does he prosecute her? Nope. He promptly recuses himself of the Russia collusion thing. I wouldn't be right, guys. And he walks away. And then when Jeff Sessions is done screwing everything up as AG, who comes in? Bill Barr. And we allowed ourselves to get excited for about 15 minutes. Remember, he stood in front of Congress and he drank a water bottle when someone asked him a question. And we're like, yeah, Bill Barr, get her, Bill. And what's Bill Barr do after that? Well, oh, he steps up to the podium. Isn't that going to be some tit for tat? The only way to end the vicious cycle is to not prosecute anybody on the other side. That is how we will get back to everything. And then I think about this. I think about the fact that we now have a crime family running the country. I really don't have a better way to put it. We have a crime family now running the United States of America. And Hunter Biden, there's audio out there today. I'm not going to play it for you. I know everyone else is playing it for you today. Hunter Biden, Joe Biden talking. Hunter Biden is a drugged out, disastrous mess. But wrap your mind around this. Hunter Biden is a drugged out, disastrous mess. Hunter Biden has foreign ties with our worst enemies, countries like China, and on top of those foreign ties, that drugged out disastrous mess is completely intertwined with Joe Biden. Joe Biden is in the Hunter Biden business. What Hunter Biden's business is, that's Joe Biden's business. Joe Biden is president of the United States of America. Look, if one of my sons, God forbid, turns out to be a drugged out mess, it is actually really, really unimportant for the globe. It's very important to me. It's unimportant for the globe because I'm not making policy decisions on behalf of the United States of America. If China had dirt on one of my sons that he was a drugged out doing something corrupt, embezzlement something, you wouldn't care. What's the big deal? It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect the show. Hey, Jesse, we'll release the information. Okay, sounds good. Joe Biden is the president of the United States of America. If his son has given blackmail material to China, and if we're to believe it out of Hunter Biden's own mouth, Russia, remember, Hunter Biden believes Russia has one of his laptops, you know, the laptops where he records every misdeed he's ever done, then the president of the United States of America is compromised. Compromised to the point where he shouldn't be allowed to hold office. Which brings me to this little point. This is the story that should never have died. Mark Zuckerberg, the head of the most powerful social media company, Facebook, goes on Joe Rogan and in his robot-like manner spills the beans about what's happening at the FBI.
There was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
I'm sorry. The FBI approached you and told you to censor the Hunter Biden story? Okay, well, let's dig into that a little bit more because there's news today courtesy of the Washington Free Beacon. I want to make sure I give them credit. It's one thing to say the FBI. Okay, well, who? I mean, someone knocked on Facebook's door. Someone had an appointment with old Zuck or whoever he talked to at the Facebook. So who was it? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Two people in particular, Laura Demlow and Elvis Chan are their names. No big deal, right? Unless you sit and consider they donate to Democrats. Demlow, $60 to the DNC. Chan contributed not only to Ossoff, he donated to Warnock. Oh, you may recognize those names. They're now United States senators taking away your rights. Those are the FBI agents working with Facebook to run cover for the Joe Biden regime. And when I say run cover, I want to make sure you understand what I mean here. The FBI approached Facebook before the Hunter Biden story went to print in the New York Post. Not after, before. Meaning they had wiretapped, read the texts, emails of the journalists involved in that story, got the information, and proactively approached Facebook and told them to censor a story so Joe Biden of the Biden crime family could be elected president of the United States of America. The man who currently is on the phone with who at China? Who at Russia? Joe Biden, who spends 28% of his time so far as president in Delaware. Why is that significant? Well, you see, if you have an official meeting at the White House today, they called you up, hey, I need you for an official meeting. You understand, according to our laws, you would have to be logged. They would have to write it down, typed in. The public could know. Joe Schmo went and visited Joe Biden today. That's not really the case in Delaware. Oh, don't get me wrong. The Secret Service is supposed to keep records of who's meeting with Papa Joe over there, except the story just came out. We lost it. I don't know why the records haven't been kept. Did someone hit delete? Did the dog eat the records? Meaning Joe Biden has spent more than a quarter of his presidency meeting with people at his home in Delaware. We have no idea what they are. Oh, don't worry about it. Maybe he was just discussing things with the person who pays $500,000 for Hunter Biden's art. Are you starting to get worried? Oh, and all this is on top of the fact This Russia-Ukraine disaster not only gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, Joe Biden is knee-deep involved in Ukraine, and so's his dirtball son.
Press conference said, no, I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a.
Look at old tough guy Joe. That prosecutor, in case you're wondering, I know you already know this by now, but that prosecutor, that was the guy who was digging into Burisma. Burisma was the company that had hired Hunter Biden for $80,000+ a month to sit on their board. Hunter Biden with no energy experience whatsoever in his background. So Hunter Biden in business with Joe Biden. Hunter Biden gets a lucrative contract with Burisma in Ukraine. That company, really dirty, gets investigated. Joe Biden uses his position as vice president to get the prosecutor fired. Fast forward to, October 11th, 2022. We are shoveling billions of dollars in equipment and flat-out cash to who knows? That's what, look, people complain all the time about all this money going over there. Keep in mind, we don't know where it's going. We know where some of it's going. But they proposed an amendment. Rand Paul, bless his heart, proposed an amendment when we were passing this aid package. Hey, can we at least get some kind of an accountability so we can track every single dollar? It was almost universally rejected. That's what we're facing right now. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, speaking of all this filth, let's talk about what's being done to children. We have a panel coming up in just a moment. Before we get to that panel, let's get to this part. The air you breathe is really important. You ever read any of those studies? It shows where people live longer. You know where they live longer? The mountains. I live in Houston. It's a dirty bowl when it comes to air. It's a swamp down here. The air sucks. When I fly to Montana, my folks still live in Montana, that's where I grew up, and I get off the plane, you can actually taste the difference in it. You can tell, wow, this is clean. You get back to Houston, crap, you can smell it already. The air you breathe inside of your home or your office matters a lot. Might matter for the longevity of your life. Eden Pure Thunderstorm will clean out the viruses and mold from your air constantly. You will be able to smell and taste the difference in your home. I own three of these things now. I keep one where my sons sleep, one where I sleep, one in the general living area. It even cleans out kitchen smells, pet smells. If your house smells like cigarettes, it'll clean those out. This thing's amazing. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Promo code Jesse gets you $200 off a 3-pack and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
So most of the patients that we have in the GEMS clinic actually know their gender, usually around the age of puberty, but a good portion of children do know as early as seemingly from the womb, and they will usually express their gender identity as very young children, some as soon as they can talk. They might say phrases such as, I'm a girl, or I'm a boy, or I'm going to be a woman, or I'm going to be a mom. Kids know very, very early.
Joining me now, Chris Ullman, president of the Eagle Forum, and Andy Roth, president of the State Freedom Caucus Network. Chris, let's begin with you there. I've said this repeatedly, and I don't know how this happened, but it's not that we have evil child abusing freaks in our society. Every society has those. It's that ours are in significant positions of power. That is Boston Children's Hospital, a place where you feel like you can take your child and they'll be cared for, and now we have this filth.
It is absolutely outrageous. I mean, these are the same people who claim that the child in the womb isn't even a child and can be, you know, ripped from its mother's womb up until the moment of birth. And yet they're claiming that children, presumably from the womb, know their gender. I have three children. When my youngest was 4 years old, she thought she was a puppy. But we didn't give her a dog collar and put her on a leash. I mean, we were parents. We helped her understand. Children have imaginations. And these people are sick. They're confused. But they really have an ideology. And it's an ideology that they want to push on all our children. And we need to fight back.
Andy, can you help me explain how this happened? For those who don't know, Andy and I were talking a little bit off air. He used to be with a different organization. And I met with him, gosh, 10 years ago at least, maybe 12 years ago, back when I was young, busy losing a race for Congress. And Andy, this never came up in that meeting. Why? Because things like this didn't exist here at all. That wasn't ancient history. That was like 15 minutes ago. When did all this happen?
I think it was just the Chinese torture, you know, drip, drip, drip. We slowly gave the left ground. Republicans acting like liberals, growing government, giving them more power, until one day we wake up and we've got communism all around us. That's how we got it. And now we don't have the tools to properly fight. So what we're trying to do is get into the states and fight against these woke hospitals, these woke school boards, these woke politicians at every turn. And we're gearing up. We're getting ready.
State and local, everyone. Remember what Andy just said. State and local. Local. Screw the federal government. State and local is how we win. All right, Chris, the DOJ, again, back to this stuff being institutionalized. I'm hearing a lot of rumblings about any questioning of trans stuff might earn you an investigation.
That is true. In fact, our Eagle Forum of Alabama chapter has been subpoenaed by the DOJ because they dared to lobby for a bill that will block cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers in gender dysphoric children. Now, some parents in the state of Alabama have sued the state over a law that the state of Alabama passed. Eagle Forum obviously lobbied for that law, but they are not a party to this lawsuit. And yet DOJ subpoenaed Eagle Forum of Alabama for all their records going back 5 years on the topic of gender dysphoria. Why? Because they don't like the fact that citizen activists are speaking out and saying, this is harming our children. We want this stopped. And so we're not a party to the lawsuit. And yet they want all our information, everything we've ever said on this topic. Why? We don't know. They already have the information from the legislature of Alabama. They're the ones who wrote the law. They're the ones who passed it by over 80% of members in that legislature. The governor signed it, but yet they're coming after a non-party to the lawsuit. And we think it's for one reason and one reason only, to harass us and to shut us up and to send a message to any other citizen activists out there. You better keep your mouth shut. Do not go against us on this issue.
Andy, that brings me perfectly into you and what you currently do. I'm very worried about all of a sudden discovering we have a Cheka in this country, which we very clearly do now. When you consider the war on Eagle Forum, when you consider the war on pro-life people, when you consider the war on school board parents, we very clearly now have a DOJ, a state police force that is dark and ugly and getting darker. I have lobbied repeatedly for state governors, legislatures, AGs to start reorientating themselves to be a wall between a very corrupt and dangerous federal government and the citizens in the state. Am I crazy?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, everybody's been paying attention to what's going on in D.C., but nobody's minding the store at the state level. These state governments,
yep,
they're woke agencies, the radical left, both in the governor's office and in the legislatures, they've been getting away with a ton for years. I mean, the corruption is ridiculous. Both hard corruption and soft corruption, the things that they're getting away with. and nobody's paying attention to it. So what we're trying to do is create state freedom caucuses so that we can empower these conservatives that are in the legislature to fight back. And we're fighting them back both in session and out of session at every turn. They're going after these hospitals, they're going after school boards, they're going after their colleagues in the legislature. They're doing everything to yell stop. Everything that's going on is absolutely crazy.
Finally, Tulsi Gabbard is all over the news today. I'm sure you both have seen it. In case you haven't or anyone watching hasn't, here's what she had to say.
I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that's under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers who are driven by cowardly wokeness, who divide us by racializing every issue and stoking anti-white racism, who actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution, who are hostile to people of faith and spirituality, who demonize the police but protect criminals at the expense of law-abiding Americans, who believe in open borders, who weaponize the national security state to go after their political opponents, and above all, who are dragging us ever closer to nuclear war. I'm calling on my fellow common sense, independent-minded Democrats to join me in leaving the Democratic Party.
Okay. Well, just my thoughts on it. And by the way, you both are more than welcome to disagree with me. I know you will if you do. I'm okay with that. I don't fall in love with the newest person that shows up at the door every day. Her past comments on Second Amendment, things like that, really alarm me. But I'm also not in the business of rejecting reinforcements when we're getting our teeth kicked in culturally as we are. So welcome to the party, Tulsi. You're not sitting at the central meeting. Chris, what say you?
Well, Bill Schlafly, our founder, used to always say, if someone is agreeing with us on a piece of legislation, they can agree with us for the reason of their choice. I will say Tulsi Gabbard has been a longtime champion of protecting girls' sports and female athletes, and we are very grateful for her support on that issue. And we're very grateful that she's calling out a radical Democrat Party. This is not the Democrat Party of even Bill Clinton, and that was a pretty radical party. They have gone off the rails. And so we welcome her speaking out on that and the issues where she agrees with us. Wonderful. We're glad to have her support. We're not going to agree with her on everything, and that's okay. But she's speaking up and speaking out, and that's very important.
Andy, last word.
Yeah, I just think I agree with you, Jesse. I mean, you're going to always have these Democrats who get tired of their colleagues and want to leave. That's fine. I think the real problem are the Republicans who act like Democrats. They're always going to muddle the message of what conservatism is. They'll always undermine the brand of limited government and economic freedom. They're the problems that we need to focus on. I mean, we always have to worry about the Democrats, but if we can get Republicans in line to support conservative ideals, then we have a united front and we'll beat the Democrats every time.
Thank you both. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. The climate change death cult. Somebody did a little flashback. This isn't something new. We'll play that for you in just a moment. Before we play that, are you stuck in a timeshare that you want out of? Understand that this is not your unique situation. There's a reason Lone Star Transfer has been around as long as they have, and they've helped as many people as they have. 16,000, over 16,000. They've helped them to get out of their timeshare legally and permanently, because this is what timeshare companies do. You didn't do this. It's not your fault. They did this. It's what they do. They trap you in with the fine print. Sorry, you can't leave. Lone Star Transfer will get you out. 99% success rate. They guarantee they'll get you out in writing and in a specific time frame. And the phone call, the no obligation consultation, is free. It costs you nothing to make this phone call. Call 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. Or LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back. Remember Acid Rain? Just before we get into it here, remember Acid Rain? This is why I remember acid rain, because I grew up going to government schools, public schools, right? It's all we could afford. That's what was there. And I was a kid, kindergarten, first grade, second grade. This is back in the 1980s. And I remember learning about acid rain in schools. And it wasn't taught as if it was some sort of a theory. You know, we're young, impressionable kids. It wasn't taught as a theory, or they think this might be doing this, or they think that might be doing that. It was taught as a fact that there was such a thing as acid rain. To the point, I remember, I wasn't frantic, but I remember being worried about it as a kid. It's raining out. Am I gonna melt? Is it gonna burn me? And then, of course, we're taught, no. It's not gonna burn you. No, it's not. But whew, it's the rainforest. The rainforest at any moment will be gone. And again, it wasn't taught as some pie in the sky theory. It was taught as the science. The craziest thing about all the climate change genocidal maniacs is they're never right about anything. Nothing ever pans out. And yet they're selling this huge genocide. Remember, that's what they're selling. They're not selling climate change. They're selling the death of 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion people. You would think you'd have to have quite a sell for something like that, right? Here it is in black and white. But they don't. It's all based on nothing. It's all based on a lie. They're selling genocide based on nothing. And I want to give credit to somebody. Again, I can't believe nobody's hired this guy yet. Mays Moore is his name. You just see him on social media. He puts together some of the best video mashups. This is his. He did a great one. Al Gore versus the great Rush Limbaugh. I miss him.
Got local environmental problems, regional problems like acid rain. Now we've got a whole new category of global or strategic problems, which include the hole in the ozone layer, which now could appear above the United States, global climate change, the destruction of the rainforest at a rate that means they'll be totally gone in another few decades unless we stop, the pollution of the oceans and the atmosphere and the like.
I don't think that there's anything conclusive about what Senator Gore said, with all due respect. I think, for example, there is no ozone hole over the United States. See, this is the problem I have. I don't think the Earth is fragile. I don't think the ecology is fragilely balanced. And I think that the doomsday industry that is typified by members of the Hollywood acting community who say we've only got 10 years left to save our planet, we've got to act now. There's no way, if what these people say is true, that we could solve these problems in 10 years anyway. It's budget time in Washington. NASA's being cut. And I think that this fright and doom scenario is designed to frighten people. Everything in this country today seems to be a crisis. We can't do anything without it being having to face it as a crisis. We don't have any time to think about it. The environmental movement, as fueled by the militants who lead it, I think is the new home of socialism.
The ozone hole is threatening to open up above North America, above Kennebunkport, and still we're not reacting.
Man, I miss Rush Limbaugh. And it was all a lie. It's all still a lie. That's what's so wild about the whole thing is we're not talking about feminism. You know, I despise feminism. It's been just horrible for women and men. It's just a despicable, despicable brand. One of the base tenets of American communism. But at least feminism isn't trying to murder people. The climate change movement, from its earliest stages, they wrote it down. All this is in writing. You don't have to take my word for it. It's about genocide. It's about viewing human beings not as unique, God-breathed souls, but as some kind of a plague upon the earth that have to be mostly eradicated so Mother Earth can continue to keep on spinning. And that brings us to today. The faces have changed. The politics remain the same. Here was Dome on Seth Meyers.
But I mean, truly, when you see our kids, and I truly believe that they are our children, they are the children of our country, of our communities, I mean, our future is really bright if we prioritize them and therefore prioritize the climate crisis and the need to address.
Miss Abortion on Demand definitely thinks we should prioritize children, for sure. And she, look, it's about climate change, though, right? Climate change, it's for the kids, man. It's for the kids, which is interesting because maybe you remember my friend Brian Dean Wright saying this.
Here's what we know about solar panels. One of the key pieces to making these things, if you dig deep inside one, is something called polysilicon, right? They require a tremendous amount of energy to create. And so that's why 75% of it comes from a coal-fired area of China. This area of China in particular is called the Xinjiang area. And that's where the Chinese government has enslaved millions of people, actually over 1 million Uyghurs, to then work in textile mills and pick cotton and put together your solar panel. Joe Biden and folks on the Capitol Hill know that this is true. And in fact, there was an investigation into this, specifically the cheating part of it coming from this slave labor region. So they know where it's coming from. We could also talk about the minerals or the mining process that goes into other things, specifically batteries. We've got a child slave labor there too, issue there too.
Dome knows that. Dome doesn't care about children. Not here, not in China, not anywhere. None of these people do. Like Rush was talking about there, everything has to be a crisis. We don't have time to think, it's a crisis. Why? They don't want you to stop and do an accounting of the genocide that this stuff will bring. Which brings me to an uglier point, and honestly, I probably could have opened the show with this, but I avoided it because it is a really ugly thing and it's gonna sound a little dark, but I want you to be aware of it. As of today, Bank of America predicted the U.S. economy will start losing 175,000 jobs a month. And I need to explain something to you. We've talked about before, but I'm going to explain it again just because it helps me understand it. When I explain these things, it helps me understand it. So I hope in some small way it helps you. When you think about economies, I want you to think about your economy like it's a platform, a raised platform, right? You with me? And that platform is not held up by anything other than pillars. There are pillars of various sizes, but you need your main pillars, right? Like Mexico is a great example. Mexico has three gigantic industries that hold up Mexico. They're the three big pillars. They have tourism, oil, and narcotics. Not necessarily in that order. Oil's number one, tourism seconds, drugs, illegal drugs is third. Okay, now I want you to picture this. Mexico, in response to a virus, they decide to start chopping away at those pillars and chopping away at those pillars. No, social distancing, shut everything down, print a bunch of money. None of this is sounding familiar, right? And while they're doing this is their economy, the pillars are cracking and cracking and cracking and crumbling and crumbling and crumbling, right? And then they have an election. And now you've got this economy and at this point in time, I don't know if this economy can be saved because the pillars are in such bad shape. They're cracking and crumbling and it's really, really bad. But then they have an election and they don't elect just a president, but they elect a president and every part of their bureaucracy, every part of their government, you know what they believe in? They believe in the destruction of oil and tourism and narcotics. And so every part of their government, instead of scrambling with emergency measures to save this pillar and save this pillar and save this pillar, you know, let's get the contractors out there, let's pour some concrete. Guys, it's desperate. Instead of doing that, they immediately start attacking the pillars that were already crumbling, throwing grenades at them, wrapping debt cord in them, C4. That is where we are as a country. That is where we are as the United States of America. We destroyed the value of our dollar. That inflation is here to stay. They have to ramp up interest rates to the point where it guarantees a recession just to avoid inflation turning into hyperinflation. That alone is bad enough. But then when you consider not just Joe Biden, but his entire administration and frankly, the entire federal government, they are all now, because one destructive ideology governs them all, they are all now fully committed to attacking the critical pillars that hold up America, our economy, like the energy sector. We are heading for a very deep, very dark, very prolonged economic time in this country. What that means, I don't know. Are we talking a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, Great Depression stuff? I don't know. But we are at the tip phase of a very deep recession and or a depression. I tell you that because one, it's reality, and two, whatever preparations you can make, you should be making them now. We're not, you know, in some down times. We're about to take off again. Mm-mm. No, we are not. there's no mechanism in place for us to take off again. And we're not even talking about foreign wars, railroad strikes, things that maybe you can't control, droughts that can attach more C4 to the pillars. Make preparations, all right? All right, we're not done yet. Let's talk to my friend Tudor Dixon, running for governor in Michigan. I hope she wins. Before we talk to her, let's talk about what we just talked about briefly. Okay, scary times. You don't want that. I don't want that. How do we stop it? Well, we can't. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Nothing I can do to stop it. All we can do is make preparations. Part of my preparation is taking better care of myself. Yes, I stock up on ammunition and water and things like that. I'm taking better care of my health. Did extra cardio again today. I take chalk every single day. I have a chalk subscription. What is it? Natural herbal supplements from a hardcore anti-communist company and 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Look, they have natural herbal supplements for everything, but they have a male vitality stack. Fellas, whew, highly recommend. Ladies, they have a female vitality stack as well. Ready to sleep better, lose some fat, feel better? Sign up for a chalk subscription. C-H-O-Q. Go to chok.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off the subscription for the lifetime of it. And you can cancel it at any time. And I want you to. If it doesn't do what I just said, cancel it. It will. I get emails every day. chok.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
I'm hearing that Gretchen Whitmer's events are invitation only. Can you imagine getting that invitation? It's like, I think I'll be washing my hair that day. Of course, remember, she did lock us down. And when she did lock us down, do you remember when people asked how they could get their hair cut and she said, Google it? Maybe she can Google the job listings, because I think she's going to be out of work soon.
Joining me now, the Republican nominee for governor in Michigan, what you might call the hottest race for governor in the country, Tudor Dixon. Tudor, Governor Gretchen did screw up COVID. She screwed up the state of Michigan really, really badly. But I think people forget, a lot of times because we want to forget, right? We don't want to remember how badly she abused the people of Michigan. But in case people have forgotten, why don't you go ahead and elaborate for us?
Well, during COVID, we kept kids out of school longer than she kept kids out of school longer than almost any other state. And now we're feeling that in all of our schools. We have our third graders that have failed their literacy exams at nearly a 60% rate across the state. We've had massive rises in crime. And you may have seen that we are now tied with New York for having the highest number of small businesses closed. And she continues these somewhat lockdowns by using her agencies to attack our businesses.
Can you help me understand something? Now, I understand this woman is detestable. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I cannot stand her. But what's the motivation? You're the governor of the state of Michigan. I would assume you actually care for the place a little bit. You understand you're crushing small business. Why don't you stop?
Gretchen Whitmer is always running for higher office, no matter what position she's in. So she wants to take the farthest left approach so that she can run in a primary. Really, we see her as running in a primary now. She's running in a primary with Gavin Newsom, and businesses across the state realize this, and they're very nervous about it. So we consistently hear people saying, do you believe that if she gets reelected, we will end up in an energy crisis like we see in California? And I do, because we're already hearing from her that she's going to shut down our pipeline here in the state, that she has a lawsuit right now to try to shut down the pipeline that is so critical to heating our homes, to putting gas in our cars, to getting jet fuel in our airports. This is the type of governor she is, only because she's trying to meet what the progressive left demands of their presidential candidates.
Tudor, you mentioned kids briefly when it came to the COVID stuff, and I know that's been a central theme for you. It seems like kids have been abused by the country itself, let alone the state of Michigan, over COVID. And because they don't have a platform, right? They're not sitting here talking to you and me, you and I right now. They don't have a platform. It really feels like they are forgotten. I hear from special needs parents who their children have, they've been stepped back to the point where they're nonverbal now. Just regular kids, anxiety, suicide. The stories of heartbreak, the way we treated kids during this pandemic, especially Gretchen Whitmer, it was really despicable.
Absolutely, and now we have kids that are severely behind, in some cases two or three grade levels behind. And this governor has come out and said, well, I'm going to help get the kids back on track. But her track record shows that she's not, because she's vetoed funding to get kids back on track. She's vetoed funding for reading scholarships. She knows that our kids are in a terrible condition right now, and she hasn't gone into the schools and offered any type of help. She said she was going to have a tutoring program. Of course, this was 7 days after we released our tutoring program. Then she said she would have one. It's October. Where is the tutoring program? We still have kids that are really severely behind. We have teachers that don't have enough support in their classrooms. And her mantra is, I put more money into the schools. We want to see results. We want to see our kids have a chance at life. We want to see them have an opportunity to reach the American dream in our state.
Tudor, I understand you have a great campaign team, and I'm certainly not second-guessing any of them, but has there been any thought to making a really great joke about a tutoring program like you just did there? I mean, that's right there for the taking.
That's, you know, there have been many people that have suggested that our slogan should be Michigan needs a tutor.
I like it. All right. What's the worst thing about running for office? I'll tell you, as someone who blew it twice running for office, asking people for money was the worst, because people don't realize that you have to have it. I mean, no one likes politicians asking for money. The TV commercials don't go on the air, and the bumper stickers don't get printed unless you have money. I hated that. What's the worst for you?
Honestly, in Michigan, I think it's a little bit different, because we have so much devastation. When we go around our cities, there's closed signs in the windows. The worst part, I think, is the thought of, what if we can't help these people? Because I've actually had people come up to me and burst into tears, grab my hands and say, please help get our state back. It's not like Texas. You guys are bustling. You're busy. There's cars everywhere. There's people going to the coffee shops everywhere. Everything is very sparse here. And there's a devastation, and the inflation is killing folks here. It's been very tough. So just that thought, gosh, what if we can't do this? What if they prevail? But I don't think they're going to, because they've already thrown $23 million in attack ads against us, and we are still right on her tail with that opportunity. She's at her peak with voters. We can gain more. We know we can do this. And ultimately, we want to be able to make sure that those closed signs turn to open signs.
If people want to support you, how can they do that?
Yes, please go to our website. It's tudordixon.com. That's TUDORDIXON.com.
Tutoring. I'm taking credit for that. I don't care that someone else came up with it. Thank you, Tudor. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. We have a light in the mood next. Before we get to light in the mood, let's address something. We talk all the time. You and I, we talk all the time about putting our money where our morals are. And I've told you my struggles with it, right? How I'm getting better, canceling this, not going here, making sure I do shop here and don't shop here. But it feels like an endless struggle as this communist, cultural, Marxist filth takes over the corporate world. Where do you go? You don't want to fund your enemies. I don't want to fund my enemies. So inevitably, someone will say, and I've said it myself, there needs to be a list. Jesse, where's the list? I want a list. I want to know where I can shop. There is a list. Pick up your phone. Go to your app store right now and download Public SQ. It's right there in your app store. Doesn't matter what you have, Apple, Google, doesn't matter. Public SQ. They not only have the list. Oh, you're heading out shopping. You're going to go buy some clothes. Go to the list. Meeting somebody for coffee. Go to the list. Not only do they have the list is growing every single day. Public SQ. All right? There's your list. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. You saw the other day when Joe Biden said this and we laughed.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
And so off of that, everyone saw that. My friend Lauren Boebert, hottest woman in Congress, went on social media and said two words, "Let's go, Brandon," which is obviously making fun of Joe Biden. But here's where something fascinating happens. The hive mind of the communist. Immediately, everybody from David Hogg to George Takei to thousands, tens of thousands of others began making fun of her about that, using the exact same comeback. I finished this show this way because I want you to understand something. We're dealing with a hive mind. The communist has a hive mind, all right? Always keep that in mind and always make fun of these people for their hive mind. All right, we're out.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.